Years ago, our youth minister referred to our culture as a bat cave society. We need to get beyond that. Next on Table Talk. I'll never forget Scott Shumpert talking at a worship service, 99 or 2000, and said, we all have our bat caves. We come home, drive in the garage, close the door, and never come out again. Well, Christ has not called us to be isolated. Christ has not called us to stay home. He's called us to go and go and make disciples. And we can't make disciples sitting in front of our TV. Sitting in front of our computer. We can't do that. We can make a difference by getting outside of the walls. That's what's going on this Sunday, April 21st. We're focusing on getting outside the walls at Covenant Methodist Church. And so here to talk about that for just a little bit is Barbie Nolan. Hello, Barbie. How are you today?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great. It's morning when we're recording, but somebody may listen to this at midnight or 7 o'clock
at
night. You never know when people listen to this. So you are the what's your title again?
I am the missions coordinator.
Okay.
I keep it all coordinated.
All right.
Sort of.
And how are you defining missions?
That's interesting that you said that because we all define it differently, right? We actually had a core team come together recently to talk that through and specifically define it for Covenant because some think that it's going to another country. Some think it's, you know, just serving a meal. There's all kinds of definitions we have in our head. So I think it's important for us as a church to define it so that we can all be on the same page, if you will. So our group came together and we're defining it as a lifestyle of service. So it's not just serving once a month or jumping in here or jumping in there, but really living a life that's surrendered and ready to serve wherever the need arises.
All right. That is a good place to start because with that definition, service can happen many different places, many different ways, right? And I'm gonna probably differentiate a little bit here, right? So when I think of service, and some people want to serve on a Sunday morning in our church, right? I'm probably not going to define that as missional in the strictest sense of the word. It's sort of your definition. It sort of is. Because we do have people coming from the outside in for the first time. And if you're a greeter or someone that's talking to them for the first time, that is that door. So it does sort of have a mission mindset, right? So I differentiate that. You probably don't, but I do, all right? But what we are offering this Sunday is something outside of our walls. Right.
Right.
Now we're offering it inside our walls, truthfully. You got to come inside our walls.
Yeah, we're offering
to begin
it inside
with,
to go outside.
Begin with. So, but we are highlighting different places for people to serve.
Correct. Yes.
All right. We do have a special speaker. We'll start there first. This will probably be one that not many people will want to go and serve, but we've had surprisingly a number of people that says, yes, I want to go serve in this location. What location would that be?
April Hirschberger serves at the Baby Center in Kenya in Africa. So, yeah, it's a bit of a journey. It definitely is. It's a culture shock, but man, it's an amazing experience to go there. I think that's part of the call to missions. God wants us to step out of our comfort zone, not just go and do what makes you feel good or what feels comfortable to you, but sometimes he calls you to go to faraway places. And I think I confessed this before, that it took me quite a few years to agree to go myself because I'm like, my goodness, it's like 24 hours of travel. It's another continent, all the things. But boy, when I stepped out, I saw God's hand powerfully. And that's part of his plan, I think, in sending us.
And so April, I guess, is on sort of a furlough from the Baby Center. So part of her deal is, I guess, to continue to raise support because she is a missionary, by trade, correct?
She absolutely is. Yes. We're excited to have her here to carry the message on Sunday. She's going to tell us more about the baby center, but also just her own, you know, experiences being a person in, that lives the lifestyle of a missionary. I'm super proud of April because not only does she go and humbly serve, but now she has elevated herself to the position, well, God has elevated her to the position of deputy director at the baby center. So when Brian and Betty, the actual directors, have other duties or step away, April can step in and hold down the fort. And so we're really proud of her.
And part of what sort of we hope from her sharing part of her story of where she's serving, the hope is that everybody that listens and truthfully everybody that's there on campus on April 21st would then be going, okay, I may not be able to go to Kenya, but I can serve, right? I can be a missionary without having to go to Kenya, right? By the definition of you have as
yes.
mission, it's about serving. So we are offering opportunities to see it up close, some of those opportunities, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That is a big part of what we're trying to get across here is that it's not just going to foreign countries to be a missionary. We can serve God right here at home. And many of you may not be aware of the many local mission partners that we have. Cove Mission supports almost a dozen local faith-based organizations. And, you know, all of them need you. They all are volunteer-driven, and they do wonderful things in our community, but they can't do it without us. So part of Sunday, we want you to learn more and find a way to connect.
All right, so let's go. You got a list of them, right?
You
didn't memorize them.
I didn't memorize them because they get jumbled up. There's so many. Like I said, there's about a dozen. But
we're going to have representatives from each of these ministries are scheduled to be here. We can't forecast emergencies that come up, but by and large, we're expecting representatives from these places to show up.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Okay. They'll be here and they'll be able to answer any questions that you have, tell you ways that you can connect with them and to get a little deeper and to serve. The beautiful thing is, whatever your passion, whatever your, you know, whatever God lays on your heart, there's something for you.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, Wiregrass Hope Group is a pregnancy crisis center. Just at that facility alone, there's multiple ways that you can serve. They always need counselors. They need people to help organize their little gift shop. There's many things that you can do right within that organization.
And when you say counselors, we're not talking about a professional counselor. We're talking about somebody that would talk to different people that come in, but they train you to talk, right?
Exactly.
Right?
I think they're kind of equivalent to our Stephen ministers, right?
I think
that we really, it's to listen, really.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily required to answer everyone's, to solve everyone's situations, but just most of the time people just need someone to listen, to talk things out with. And so just being a kind, compassionate, listening ear is one of the things that they need there.
And I'm going to go off, not on a rabbit trail, but almost a rabbit trail, because we did, at one time, we did have a person that was one of those counselors. She's a member of our church. And one of the things, her ministry there was actually talking to ladies that had aborted their children, and they had come in for counseling, and so this particular lady from our church was actually paired up with a person that had aborted their child. And the only reason I know about this is because they had a service of remembrance, almost like a mini memorial service for the unborn child. And and I was invited to come be the sort of the pastor for this. And it was just me, the counselor from our church, the lady, and the father of that child. And that was very impactful, knowing what just helping another person go through the pain and the guilt that is associated with that. And so I think they also have you know, obviously people that are contemplating after they get pregnant, they have those people as well. Pretty sure they have maybe just maybe miscarriage ministry as well. Some of this stuff you don't have, see advertised, right? But when ladies come into Wiregrass Hope Group, there's different things they come in for. So it takes a variety of lay volunteers and lay counselors that will help come alongside in addition to their paid counselors they have. So that's a little dovetail off that some of what they do.
Right. And, you know, a church our size, certainly some of our folks have walked through things like that, and they can share and just offer a compassionate ear. In addition to that, there's like parenting classes. Yep. And there are many ways to connect. And if you're not really a people person and you want to be in the closet, they've got a wonderful little boutique there that the parents, as they go through classes and training, they can earn vouchers, if you will, to shop in this little boutique. But it takes volunteers and hands to keep everything looking good and organized. So whether you're a front row person or a backseat right. person, there's a place for you there.
Yeah, I think when they had some stuff to do in one of their buildings, and some of our students went over there last year and just helped out to clean up and do some stuff. I think it was probably for the new building that they had.
Right.
So anyway, we spent a lot of time on one.
Yeah, and I guess
let's go to the other one.
I guess if I get too minute in the details, I could go on and on. But there are places like the Ark downtown. That's a it's actually both a men's and a women's residential. It's a place to recover from addictions. And
when did they start taking women?
Relatively, maybe in the last year or
okay.
so. Yeah.
Okay.
So I would love to get a group of ladies that want to go down there and do a Bible study with the ladies that are residents at the Ark. The Ark, Love in Action, and the Harbor, they both minister to low income and homeless in our community. There's countless ways that you can help with those organizations. You can go out in the street and do street ministry and disciple and go, you know, knock on people's doors, see if they have needs, pray with them. They've seen, you know, many people come to Christ just by just someone coming and caring and spending the time to pray and talk to them and listen to them. And they do food ministries, so they need people to help prepare food, hand out food. They've got both the Harbor and Love in Action have laundry services and showers. All of it, it all takes manpower. It all takes volunteers.
Let's be clear. They don't want you to take your personal laundry down there. This is for the homeless community folks.
Right. We've got a pretty new member of our church that we went down to Love in Action, and she just kind of felt disconnected and wanted to serve somewhere. But she just jumped right in and found her spot, and she's been there faithfully every week. She just found her connection there. Not only is she, you know, serving and making a difference, really helping them, she's organizing the pantries. But it's a place that she feels fulfilled, and she's giving back, and she's, you know, made some new friends and connections. And that's a beautiful thing about serving, right? Like, we think we're going just to do something for someone else, but God has a way of transforming it into doing something for ourselves.
All right. Who else is going to be here?
We've got a representative from Sarcoa. We love to do things with the counseling on aging there. We've got a member of our church that goes and does little craft projects with some of the elderly people. And we help pack their little goodie bags for different events. During COVID, we did a lot of meal delivery, which I know a lot of you really enjoyed and found that really meaningful, but there's always reaching out to us. So if you have a passion for elderly folks and would like to give back, if you would just let me know, and I can keep you on a list, and when they have a need, I can reach out to you and see if you can help out with it.
And I think one of the things that we had long-standing relationship with Sarcoa was for building ramps for the for the elderly disabled people. That has sort of fallen by the wayside right now. So if anybody out there has any inkling of a little bit of skill, is building a ramp.
And that,
we still have most of the materials. We still have most of the materials to do that with.
Tools, yes.
All the tools and stuff. So we're always still looking for that one other person to step up, because a number of our leaders and that had done this in the past, many of them have moved away.
Right. So, yeah. That's kind of where we are. Just really looking for leadership in that. Someone that can go in and, you know, measure out the jobs and do the planning. I know a lot of you would jump in and volunteer, but for that particular job, we do need someone that would step in and be a leader. That's actually a big hole in our community. As we're sharing, there are many organizations, many people helping, but there are gaps here and there. And wheelchair ramps is definitely a gap. It's a real need for people that is very hard for them to find.
Yep. So, and actually, the crew that used to do that, they could knock it out. So most of them out within 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday morning.
Right. They really got it down to a science. Yep. So if you're a builder out there and would have a heart for that, let's talk about it. Yep.
Let's move on. Sorry.
Okay. let's see. Fane Elementary is our adopted school, and we do a lot there. And we're just really excited about the relationship that we've built there. We started out just doing food bags. We do a limited number, I think 60 children a month. The teachers choose the child that is in most in need. And we not only give them a food bag to kind of help them through a little bit, but we get to sit and talk with them and sometimes pray with them. We ask them if they know Jesus. And so it really is a ministry, not just a food handout. And it's a beautiful thing that I've seen as we return, you know, the kids, you know, they know us now, and they want their particular volunteer they want to go to. We start to build a relationship. And to me, that's really what serving is all about, is building relationships, so that, you know, it gives us a voice in someone's life. If they know that they can trust us and that we really do care, they're going to be more likely to listen to what we have to say.
And this school also lets us come do the historical Easter, historical Christmas story. Is
that
correct?
Yeah, which, I mean, that is just such a privilege in this day and age. We complain that God's been kicked out of school, but we have an opportunity to bring him back. And so we do have a great group of volunteers that at Christmas time and at Easter, they go and share the historical, basically what Christians believe, the meaning of Easter and Christmas.
Yeah, cool.
And it's surprising how many children actually don't know that there's more to it than the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. So that's a great opportunity. And we look to grow in many ways there as well. Maybe some more volunteering in the classrooms. So again, there's opportunities to work with children. We also work with Embrace Alabama Kids, which is formerly the United Methodist Children's Home. They are predominantly a foster care system. There is a home, but they really work with the state to place children into foster care.
We're directly related to the foster care program. We have a vested monthly interest in that, right?
We sure do, yes. We host their training dinner once a month. So the foster families come here. We serve them dinner, and then the parents receive the training while the children break away, and we have an opportunity to do a little Devo or arts and craft, or just have some time pouring into the kids. And that one is another one where that it's a group of folks that kind of didn't know each other when we came together. And now we really look forward to getting together once a month. It's another situation where God, you know, we came to serve others, but now is really fulfilling to us and our friendships that we've made.
Yep.
And
who's next?
We've got Dare to Hope. Gia Hughes works with human trafficking. She's going to come and tell a lot more about her work. You know, we like to think that doesn't happen here, but unfortunately, trafficking is even here in Dothan, Alabama. So Gia's just wonderful and just highly educated, and our volunteering would be a little bit limited in that being the nature of that, but yeah, she does an amazing work. I call her a warrior. Okay. They also do Bible studies with some of the ladies that are willing. So that's one way that we could participate.
Right.
And we're kind of excited or very excited to have Time Youth join us this.
So Nate's coming?
Yep, Nate's okay. coming. He does a lot of work with the inner city youth. He's currently on a building campaign for a teen center, which I was able to visit, and I'm super excited. I can't believe he found a place downtown on Oates Avenue that actually has pretty much the makings of a basketball court in it.
Huh.
I mean, how perfect, right, for youth to have a place. It's not just the basketball, though. It's a big warehouse, but also is going to be designed with meeting rooms and eating a place for the kids to eat together. And just a safe, godly place to hang out and, you know, just some alternative to some of the other things that.
Yeah, we're going to do a follow-up with Nate down the road on this podcast. Most people, you know, you're going to be in a rush. You've got 11 different places to go. You may not get to see Nate and talk to Nate and get some details. So we're going to have Nate as a follow-up to this weekend. We'll have Nate come in.
Great. That'd be great.
And talk to him because a number of churches are getting behind Time Youth.
Yeah, he's doing really well in his campaign. I'd say he's 60 or 70% there already,
wow.
And he's only been after it a few months.
Yep.
So God is really blessing the work that he's doing. So already you can see it's a great variety. We're going to have a representative from our Operation Christmas Child Shoebox campaign.
Was it hard to get her to come?
No, okay. No. Our people are pretty passionate about those shoeboxes. That is such a simple way to be an international missionary, if you will. You know, all we have to do is pack a box and it goes all over the world. And they call them go boxes or gospel opportunities because, in fact, they are. They don't just get a box, but they also hear the gospel message.
Yeah.
So you can learn more about that and how you can help with that ministry. And yeah, if that's not enough for you.
You covered them all. I'm just making sure.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, we may have a couple that we're not sure about, but mm-hmm. we may have one or two added there at the last. But here's what I want to emphasize. All right, some people wait on Barbie, right? They call Barbie, they talk to Barbie, they email her or whatever and say, I need you to set me up. We're giving you an opportunity to leave Barbie out of the picture, right? Seriously, right? You don't need us.
No.
When you can connect with these groups, you can connect directly with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are regularly providing opportunities through these organizations. Barbie does facilitate a number of things. You already heard about Embrace and Fane and the ARC. We're already doing some of that, but you don't have to wait on us to connect and serve, right? This is really not about trying to get Covenant's name as being involved in a mission. It's about getting you, the person in our church, to be involved in serving outside of our walls, right? Doesn't matter to me if somebody knows you're from Covenant or not. What matters is that you're unleashing compassion as a follower of Jesus Christ, which he has called us to do. So be aware that's why we're bringing these in. We're not bringing them in just to simply say, hey, this is who we support. Look what Covenant is doing. That's not it at all. We're bringing these people in. So an individual like that one lady you just said connected with Love in Action, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it probably started with your connection down there with Ken and them, but it morphed into her connection,
right,
with Love in Action,
mm-hmm.
not Covenant's connection. It was only on her. So I just want to get that out for everybody to understand too. Don't wait on us to set something up. If you find out one of these places you're talking to, you just plug directly in. Because when you talk to any of these directors in charge of this, they will gladly welcome you with open arms.
They will have a place for you to serve.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to reiterate that as well, too, that this isn't really designed as a educational or an awareness event, but rather a connectivity, like find some place to serve because we have many, many opportunities.
Yeah. And I know this, the one lady you talked to, reference, she just did it on her own, but I also know we have families that do this as a family. They do stuff,
mm-hmm.
service as a family, and they have found it very beneficial doing that, whether they serve at the rescue mission as a family or go on a trip as a family or pack a shoebox as a family. A lot of this is a family-oriented thing as well. And so some of these opportunities a family can't do. Now, obviously, Dare to Hope, probably not going to be a family opportunity
on that one.
But we do. That's probably one of the ones that we need to build awareness of that. Because in Dothan, we sort of tend to think we're in a bubble.
Right. I mean, we bring our children to church to model, you know, learning about Christ. But, you know, Christ calls us to serve, right? So we need to model serving for our families as well.
Yeah. All right. Any other closing parting thoughts, Barbie?
I'm just really grateful for this opportunity. Unfortunately, like I said, probably many of you aren't aware that, you know, we have supported these organizations for a long time and continue to support them. So this is a really great opportunity to help make everyone more aware of some of the things we do. And just encouraging each of you to please jump in. I was considering the fact that, you know, what is it, 90, 10, or 20, 80, the percentage of people that actually get out and do. We tend to, like, stay in our bat cave, like Kyle said. But golly, what if we all did serve? What if we all really did, like, I mean, not necessarily weekly or daily, but once a month, if we actually all got out, I mean, we could make a difference. We could really make some impact on the kingdom. That's what God calls us to do. So I'm just challenging y'all to please connect somewhere.
Right. And if you come this Sunday, you're on campus and you're going, I didn't connect with any of these. These are just a sampling. There are still some other places that were not represented on the campus, but there's other places that Barbie can also point you to as well.
We got mission trips.
We got mission trips. Mm-hmm. All right. So again, Barbie's email is barbi@covenantdothan.org. So if you have any questions all about missions, or if you have any complaints about Covenant, barbi@covenantdothan.org. Now, if you have missions, that would be great. So, no, I think complaints go to alan@covenantdothan.org.
Yes.
We send the complaints to Alan. At Covenant Dothan. So, well, thank you all again. I hope to see you on campus April 21st. And if you can't make it, tune in on online at least to hear April and hear what's going on in Kenya. Blessings to you. Have a great week.